Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Last week, the tragic forest fires in Israel killed 42 people. Since then, Muslim leaders and ultra-Orthodox rabbis have both claimed, for different reasons, that the fires are divine judgment. Could it be true?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I'm back from India. That's right, back from India, about 36 hours of travel home. It took me some time to realize that today was Wednesday. I knew it was a day of the week. I wasn't sure which day. I mean, a day of the, not a weekend, but the week. Of course, I knew that. I wasn't quite sure what day, but it is Wednesday. I'm delighted to be here with you. Thanks for joining us on the program. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or get involved in the discussion taking place right now on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. It's Ask Dr. Brown. Okay, tragic fires in Israel, a national catastrophe, unprecedented in the history of modern Israel. 42 people killed. The bulk of them were on a bus going up to a prison near Mount Carmel where prisoners were being evacuated. They were overtaken by the fire. That most of the casualties came from that. One of the top officials, police officials in the land, was killed trying to combat the fire, critically burned, and she was killed. So a real tragedy, to put it in terms similar to American numbers based on the population of Israel, comparing it to the population of America, you'd be talking like 1,600-plus people dying in fires. It devastated thousands and thousands of acres of land, and anyway, traumatized the nation on a certain level because of the shock of it, because of the realization of what terrorists could do in conjunction with fires, and seemed to be lack of preparation in handling the magnitude of this fire. There was an outpouring of international support. Many nations got involved. Even Turkey, which has been recently hostile with its new leader towards Israel, Turkey got involved in helping. That was moving to the people of Israel. But it raises a major question of why it happened. Why did the fire happen? Well, you could say either arson or negligence, and it seems to be the latter. It seems to be an issue of negligence. However, there's a deeper question. Why did it happen? You say, no, it's either an arsonist or negligence. Right, those are natural explanations. But something of this magnitude, does it just happen? Whether you're a Calvinist or an Arminian, does something of this magnitude that shakes a nation just happen? You say, well, yes, certain things just happen, and then God works through it. Others of you say, no, God ordains what happens, especially Lamentations. Does disaster come to a city, and the Lord has not ordained it? So all the talk from different sides about this being divine judgment, as repulsive as it may seem to some at first level, as impossible as it may seem to others, I want us to talk about it. Now, don't get mad at me and say that I'm saying this was divine judgment. I'm saying we're going to talk about it, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. Could it be divine judgment or wake-up call, or could it be satanic? Does the devil have the power to do this, or does this just happen? Is it wrong to look for a divine cause in everything that happens, or is it wrong not to look for a divine cause when something of this magnitude happens? So, not surprisingly, people in the Arab world, the Muslim world, are suggesting, quote, the fire is God punishing Israel for occupying Arab lands. Now, the Jerusalem Post reported on December 4th, many Arabs also strongly condemned Egypt and Jordan for agreeing to help in extinguishing the blaze, according to Arab media outlets. And these are comments from readers, which would obviously reflect the sentiments of many Muslim leaders. The Post article continues, judging from comments of readers in response to the blaze in several leading Arab media outlets and websites, a majority believe that God is, quote, punishing Israel for occupying Arab lands and killing Palestinians, especially during Operation Cast Lead in the Gaza Strip. So, of course, you have to ask the question, well, why now? Operation Cast Lead in the Gaza Strip, that's a couple years old now. Why would judgment be happening here, and why in a very different part of the country, unrelated to the Gaza Strip? Gaza Strip being in the southern part of Israel and on the west coast, and Carmel being in the northern part of Israel. So why would that happen? Well, anyway, just let me read the comments. Others called on Israel's enemies, particularly Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah, to seize the opportunity and try to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Only a few readers and viewers expressed sympathy with Israel over the tragedy and loss of many lives. So this is a sampling of some of the comments that appeared in the past few days in the Arab media. May Allah punish all Arabs who helped put down the fire. We pray to Allah that the fire will grow and spread to oil wells in the Arab world. Oh Allah, burn them, the Jews, before the day of judgment. Oh Allah, destroy them and all the enemies of Islam. May Allah take revenge against them and displace them together with our corrupt Arab governments. This is the right time for Iran. If one fire has caused panic in the Zionist entity, where are Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Hassan Nasrallah, and where is Syria? One rocket could set thousands of fires. Allah gives time but never neglects. The Israelis are being punished for their deeds. We hope their end is nearing. On and on. Thank God for this new Holocaust and shame on the Egyptian authorities who rushed to save the Zionists. Thank God for burning the Jews the same way they burned our Muslim brothers in Palestine. Allahu Akbar, this is an effective weapon. We call on our Palestinian brothers to set fire to all forests. How many prisoners did the wardens torture? Allah has answered the prayers of the oppressed. Well, so from the perspective of many in the Muslim world, evil Israel is getting what it deserves. Evil Israel tortures its prisoners. Now there's a fire that people are consumed near the prison and killed. This is just God judging Israel for these horrific acts. Now, I know you hear those words. You think of the 42 that were killed, many of them young people. Your heart is burdened and grieved, and you think how immoral to say this is divine judgment. How immoral to say that Allah is burning up the Jews now and this is another Holocaust. Isn't it wonderful? Well, this is not just coming from the Muslim world. So the Jerusalem Post reported on the 6th of December in an editorial article, Be a Scholar, Not a Prophet. And Maury Schwartz asks, why is it when faced with catastrophe, many Torah scholars set aside their knowledge of halakha, Jewish law? The article continues, it did not take long for the all-knowing, self-enthroned prophets of Jerusalem to let us know exactly why the fire has consumed some 7,000 acres of forest and taken the lives of 42 people. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, spiritual leader of Shas, which is ultra-Orthodox party in Israel, of Sephardic Middle Eastern background, has declared in the name of the Talmud that an outbreak of fire only happens in a place where Shabbat, Sabbath, is desecrated. In the same lesson delivered this past Saturday night while the fire was still raging and firefighters were continuing to risk their lives to prevent it from reaching into Haifa and other nearby communities, he called upon everyone to study Torah, engage in good deeds, repent, observe Shabbat, and know the entire halakha, Jewish law, and thanks to this, God will provide a full recovery. A Haredi, ultra-Orthodox newspaper, HaMevaser, carried the story and wrote that an investigating committee would probably be set up, but said we must not forget that there are things beyond human control. The editorial noted that in legal language it is known as force majeure, and that we know there is a directing force from above without whom it is impossible to even lift a finger here below. The heavens cause the events and lead them to such disastrous levels. And it goes on, the article, with an analysis of the passage in the Talmud and states, instead, a better reading would be negligence, and all the more so arson, is not a blow from the heavens. It is not the hand of God. The article concludes by saying, as Rabbi Yochanan is also quoted as saying, since the temple was destroyed, prophecy has been taken from prophets and given to fools and children. We would do well to stick to what we know and stop looking for messages in bottles. Okay, now I read those two accounts, the press reports from Arab media, people writing into newspapers and websites and airing their views that the fires are judgment from Allah against evil Israel. Here an ultra-Orthodox rabbi saying the fires are judgment from God against Israeli Jews who do not keep the Sabbath, which would be the majority of Israeli Jews do not observe the Sabbath. And only a small percentage would observe the Sabbath in accordance with ultra-Orthodox Jewish law. Under 20%, certainly maybe under 15% would keep it that rigidly. But the question remains, is it so outlandish to say that when something like this happens, it's divine judgment? Or if it is outlandish, what right did the prophets have in the Old Testament to say that things like this were divine judgment? What right did the prophets have to point to a natural disaster, an earthquake or some other catastrophe, which took the lives of dozens, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people, and then point back and say, this is judgment from God? Or the Babylonian army marching into Jerusalem, as happened in Jeremiah's day and Ezekiel's day, marching into Jerusalem and destroying the city and pillaging the city and raping the women and killing the men and taking many captive. What right did the prophet have to say this was divine judgment? If it's so obscene to us to think that something like this could be divine judgment today, how could it be divine judgment in the past? So throwing out some questions for you to think about here on the Line of Fire. I'll give you my own insights, comments, and some reflections on things that I've shared in India, including an amazing plane ride back with Indian actors and actresses. Oh, yeah. Interesting flight. Thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Blessed to be with you. Just back from India. Got in early last night. Got a good night's sleep, fresh and ready to go today. We are talking about the fires in Israel and the claim by some groups in the Muslim world and in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish world that these tragic fires took the lives of 42 people and shook the nation, that they were actually divine judgment. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Add your thoughts and comments there. You can also listen to all of our past shows. If you missed my shows live from India, especially the Monday night show on washing the feet of a martyr's widow, please take some time to listen. I'm going to talk about that a bit more, some responses we've gotten to that program a little bit later in today's show. All right. Let me put this discussion in context for you about the fires in Israel. Because a very natural reaction would be, well, how in the world do I know? I'm not going to play God, and people died in this. I'm not going to say what God did or didn't do, and I don't have the right to. Okay, fair enough, although some would certainly feel free to make proclamation either way, for better or worse. Larger question, does God send divine judgments in the earth today? Does God send divine judgments in the earth today? What do you think? Next question. If he does send divine judgments, how can we recognize them? What makes one thing a divine judgment and another thing just an accident or just a, quote, natural disaster? You know what the insurance companies call a natural disaster, an act of God. Is it necessarily an act of God? Then another question. Does anything of magnitude happen in the world? Let's say you give certain place to free will. In other words, what color socks you put on today or when you were driving, if you went one route or another route or whatever, okay? Or whether you chose to tune into the Line of Fire for 5 minutes or for 50 minutes, and that was your choice. Okay, let's just say you give certain parameters for free will and choice, but you believe that other things happen by the will of God. Anything major happens by the will of God. Maybe that's your theology. Or anything involving death has to do with the will of God because every human being is in his hands. Wouldn't that mean then that something like this is an act of God and is in fact something that we can stand back from and give theological reflection to and say, well, why did God cause this to happen? Is that possible? Or could it possibly be some type of prophetic sign? I mean, Elijah called down fire from Mount Carmel, and it was on Mount Carmel when this is where these fires took place, and God answered by fire. And then after that, he killed the false prophets. Then after that, rain came because there had been a severe drought. Hey, there's drought in the land of Israel, a severe drought. That's one reason the fires happened, because things are so dry, and it was easier for the fires to catch and ignite there. Therefore, shouldn't we be thinking in terms of why was there a drought in the first place? And isn't the drought a sign of divine judgment? Isn't that a constant theme in Scripture? And it goes on and on and on, and people have to turn to God and pray. And in fact, Israel is not a godly nation. The secular part of the nation is very secular. I mentioned a comment of one of my friends that's lived and worked in the Tel Aviv area for more than 30 years, and he was telling me Tel Aviv is such a perverted city. I was chatting with Nancy about that last night, and she said, yes, she's always felt that when we first went in 86, we were struck by the level of sin and lust and flesh in the society. And then you have the ultra, or not everywhere, of course, but the big city, man, you got it, just like some other big European or American city full of sin and full of flesh. And then you get to the ultra-Orthodox Jewish world, and as passionate as many of these men and women are, there's still a lot of sin and hypocrisy in their midst, and most importantly, they militantly oppose the gospel of Jesus, on and on. So should Israel just be blessed because it's Israel? Could there be divine judgment withholding rain? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I give you some of my reflections on that and read some of the comments that have come in already, let me just tell you about the finale to my trip in India. This was a first. Again, it's my 17th time there, so a lot of things I'm quite used to. But fly out, participate in this very special wedding I talked about on the show Monday. This was Monday morning, then caught an early afternoon flight into Mumbai, into Bombay, and then went over, got a hotel room, and then rested, had a meal there, got ready for my radio program, did the show, and then left at 3 in the morning after my show, which ended, 2:30 in the morning, India time. Left at 3 in the morning for the airport, and was going to be flying out a little bit past 5 in the morning into Doha in Qatar, and then after Qatar, 14, 15-hour flight into the States, and then one more flight home. It's a bit of a journey. So I had gotten a real good ticket, real good price on a business class ticket. Normally I use miles to upgrade. This time I got a real good price on a business class ticket, and gives me more room to rest, and I'm a tall, big guy, so it just gives me more room to spread out. I appreciate being able to travel like that. And I'm in this little lounge. It's a business class lounge, but very little lounge there in India. And waiting for the flight, and some gal comes walking by, striking in her appearance, but dressed somewhat sensually. I just looked the other way. I hate when these ladies are strutting their stuff like this, and you got to look away. And you know, I'm just sitting in the lounge. I'm just telling you honestly my thoughts. And then some very super cool looking guy comes walking by. Super cool looking guy. And obviously they're together. And then some other lady, striking, looked the same deal. It's like, what is all these people? And then somebody else. And so get on the plane, and one of these cool-looking guys sits next to me, and these ladies, one after another, they're getting on the plane, and either very striking-looking or they're dressed. You wanted to cover them up a little bit. So I'm just like, what is going on? What are all these people doing on the plane? And I'm thinking, okay, how do I reach? How do I talk to them? What's the angle? What's going on with them? So a bunch of them, one guy, one of the coolest looking characters I've ever seen. I mean, really, he had the sunglasses, and they're all Indians, but fairly light-skinned Indians. Real cool looking guy, sunglasses and this cool kind of hat. And he sits down. So I figured, they got to be in me. They got to be actors, actresses. But where are they all going? What are they doing? So I talked to the guy next to me. I said, hey, you seem to all know each other. What's going on? Now, bear in mind, I've just come from working with people who are working some of the poorest parts of India, people who in themselves have almost nothing. Most of them own the clothes on their back, and that's about it. In terms of the folks that we were working with, people persecuted for their faith. Now, this is the who's who, the celebrities or the wealthy of India, the rich and famous on some level. So I said to this guy, so what do? You all seem to know each other. And they were happy and chatting and smiling and so on. And he goes, oh, we're actors. I said, really? And he was also a filmmaker. And I said, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, we're all flying to Buenos Aires, 43 people, to participate in a reality TV show. Really? So we get to talking more, and so I immediately talked about the TV show that I was doing or had done for a couple of years, my daily radio show, just to have a place of interface for talking with folks in media. And then, you know, started talking about some of the ministry I do. And as we were talking more, it was fascinating that he began to explain how, as a young man, as an actor, becoming very successful, making a lot of money, he could do whatever he wanted, buy whatever car he wanted, and starting to realize how there was more to life than that, and how even going in this direction was often going against your own moral values, Then he switched seats, and a guy sat next to me who was part of the Amazing Race Asia with some fascinating comments about the poor. So I'll tell you about that when we come back, and then get your calls. George from Ogden, Utah, you're up first when we come back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. We've been talking about the fires in Israel and claims from the Arab world and claims from the ultra-Orthodox Jewish world for very different reasons that the fire could be divine judgment, something that strikes many of us as repulsive or almost obscene. And yet, in past times, the prophet spoke of suffering in Israel and said it was divine judgment. So we're sorting that through. I'm going to give you some of my reflections in a moment. But asking the larger questions, does God bring divine judgment today in the form of natural disasters or in other ways? And if so, how can one recognize that something is divine judgment? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On Facebook, ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown. Before I go to the phones on this, let me just finish the discussion I was having with a young man, just 23 years old, coming back from India, who had participated in the Amazing Race in Asia. And I said, oh, Amazing Race. I said, the Steadicam guy that worked with us in the TV show that I hosted and scripted did shooting for Amazing Race, the major worldwide one, and so on. So just to have a place of connection. So as we're talking more, I'm trying to find a way in to talk about the gospel or other values. And I'm looking at these people, these actors and actresses on the plane. They may be very decent people, but they are obviously, some of them, well-known or at least on their way up in Indian media and outwardly have a lot of things going for them. It was interesting talking to this young man. He was saying, yeah, in India, growing up in a wealthy setting, we've got everything. We've got the clubs. We've got the discos. We've got this. We've got this. And he said, you know, he often travels to the Himalayas and he talks to the people there and the poor people there. And he said, it's interesting. They have so little, but they're so much happier than we are. And the more we talked, the more he was talking about that the values that the poor have and the little that they have means more to them. And the values go deeper than he, with all of his wealth or the wealth that he comes from or the wealth that's available in Israel, that there's an emptiness to the wealth. And I quoted to both of them the words of Jesus, take heed and beware of covetousness, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And that reminds us that it's one thing to battle with Hindu extremists or communist extremists or Muslim extremists or others who want to take your life and are going to persecute you for the gospel. And even to follow Jesus, you might end up in jail or you might end up killed. It's one thing to deal with that. It's another thing to deal with materialism, the great battle we have in America. And if we don't face it as vigilantly and as diligently as these brothers and sisters face the persecution and oppression from these other forces in other parts of the world, we will be defeated. In fact, we have been largely defeated at the hands of materialism and love for this world. And it is consistent that many of our preachers in America preach a message that equates the love of this world with following Jesus and basically tells you Jesus is the key to earthly success. Dangerous, misleading doctrine for sure. Okay. Back to the question of the fires in Israel and divine judgment. George in Ogden, Utah, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing? It's nice to talk to you guys today.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I was just wanting to comment on that about the Israel. I think that we should always, like me, I always bless Israel, like the Bible says, and I bless them regardless. And like about the fire stuff, I think some of the stuff is acts of God, but some of the stuff is like the earth is having birth pains for Jesus Christ's second coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has a lot to do with it, you know, and I'm not going to say that was caused because of that, but, you know, it could be a possibility that it's because of the earth pains. And like you were saying about the sin, there's so much sin. I didn't know about a lot of sin in Israel, but I guess there is, like, a lot of flesh, a lot of clubs, a lot of stuff like that, homosexuality, but I know that that's an abomination, and God hates sin, you know? He loves us as sinners, but he hates the sin. So I agree with that, and I just wanted to say that, and I just wanted to say that I bless Israel, and I hope that, you know, they keep becoming a stronger nation.
You know, George, let me ask you this, George. How do you think we might know if something is divine judgment? In other words, how could we tell that something is divine judgment and not just human negligence or some type of natural disaster?
I think the way that you can kind of tell is by, like if it's obvious, like if it came from a thunder, like if there was thunder and it started the fire, then I think that was obviously, you know, in God's hand, because he's the one that makes the thunder.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was somebody that hates Israel, like a Palestinian or somebody that hates Israel, and they started the fire, then that's a different story. But I think it all goes down into sin. Like with the Bible, like what the Bible says, it says that if my people shall come together and pray, and I shall heal their land, and they shall be my people, stuff like that, you know?
Yes.
I think it comes down to that. I think it gets boiled down to that. But
right.
You know, I'm not the greatest guy, and I don't know a lot of stuff, but I know for a fact that if we pray and ask the Lord, and he will heal the land, and, you know, I wish I lived in Israel. That's all I got to say.
All right. Hey, George, thank you for the solidarity with Israel, for your thoughts. I appreciate it. George brings up a point that I think we all need to reflect on, which is this. Whatever the cause, whatever the reason for something like this happening, when you have a national tragedy in any country, not just Israel, in any country where you have believers, or in any country that claims to be a God-fearing country, it is only natural to turn to God at that time. It is only natural to humble oneself at that time. It is only natural to ask God for mercy at such a time, regardless of the cause. My question again, though, is if something is divine judgment, how could we recognize it? So George makes a good point, makes a distinction between if, say, a terrorist set a fire, that would seem to be an assault on Israel as opposed to a judgment. If it was just a case of an accidental fire, as seems to be the case here, somebody smoking a hookah and the ember, you know, just a little spark, and next thing there's a fire and negligence put it out. But then you've got, excuse me for my post-India voice here. Give me 1 second to clear my throat. All right, that's also a good chance for you to clear your throats if you're listening and needed to do that. So just a throat-clearing moment for everyone here. So we stay in community and solidarity. what else do you do when you're talking on live radio? Got to figure out a way to do it, yes. But anyway, there's the larger question about the drought. And is the drought divine judgment? I mean, isn't that God actively withholding rain? Again, without the drought, you wouldn't have the fires. A couple years ago, I did a show on Does God Send Hurricanes? And we got some very interesting responses. I remember one woman said, well, if it's divine judgment, then why aren't our houses of worship getting destroyed in hurricanes because of all the gossip and all the sin that we have in our houses of judgment? Another fellow made the comment and said, look, take something like Katrina. That was a hurricane that came during hurricane season to a place that was prone to get hit by hurricanes. Wouldn't it be more clear if it was divine judgment that it came in a part of the country and at a time of the year when hurricanes would not be expected? And then the other bigger question, was someone warning first? Was there a clear prophetic word first saying we need to repent for specific sins, and if we don't repent, judgment will come in a specific way? Oh, now we're talking, speaking in advance instead of speculating afterwards. We'll be back with more. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. As always, the number to call. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Before we get back to the subject we've been talking about, the fires in Israel, the question of divine judgment, and again, I'll kind of sum up and give you my thoughts before the show is out. I had this posted on my Facebook page by Dom, one of our ministry school grads, and He said, we might need you to teach a course at our local Walmart. We're coming to the end of Hanukkah season now. And it's a picture from Walmart. Delicious for Hanukkah. Boneless smoked ham. Delicious for Hanukkah. That's it for the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. Boneless smoked ham. So, yeah, perhaps I'll have to do a little teaching there at Walmart in terms of what might be appropriate for a Jewish holiday. All right. Let me read a few comments. As I'm looking at the Facebook comments relating to the question, could the fires in Israel be divine judgment? Some, like Daniel, said it's presumptuous and incredibly foolish. It reminds me of what Pat Robertson recently said about Haiti's plight. It's true that these things proceed from God, Isaiah 45, Amos 3, Lamentations 3, but no one knows why God ordained this. I think the most we can say here is it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Now, someone might say to Daniel, though, in response, that's a good Calvinistic perspective, and you quoted some scriptures that seem relevant. However, it's presumptuous of you to say that this is specifically from the Lord. Jim said it's part of the fallen human condition to fall prey to interpreting facts or events only to validate our own dogmatic pre-existing views. Mercedes said the Muslims, as well as the ultra-Orthodox Jews, obviously do not know the character of the one true God, and we should pray for the spirit of the fear of the Lord, who is the beginning of wisdom to overtake the entire world, as well as the pagan church. Gabriel said what this indicates is that both sides don't know what they're talking about. Both sides shouldn't think that they are spokesmen for God. Mark said, I think it's the kind of stuff a lot of Christians do when bad things happen. All of a sudden, everyone is a retro prophet. Don says, sounds like the Christian leaders who came out after 9/11 and Katrina and said that both were God's judgment on this country. Lauren said, sometimes bad things just happen. Then again, God is a righteous judge, and sometimes he sends his judgment. Roger, a 14-year-old boy, was smoking some pipe and let an ember drop down, and the rest is history. Shalom. Ray said, I think if they understood the book of Job, they would understand that sometimes bad things happen to righteous people and is not God's judgment, but from Satan. Speaking about the book of Job, by the way, it's just official that I will be writing a commentary on the book of Job with heavy theological reflection dealing with the major faith issues and problem of suffering issues that believers wrestle with. And plan to be working on that with God's help for the next few years to be put out by a fine Christian publisher. So just got that word yesterday that that's going to happen. And I'm very much looking forward to wrestling with these issues in great, great depth. There's no book in the world like the book of Job. Okay, that being said, what do we do now as we look at these fires? Again, you don't just want to stand and give opinions when you're talking about 42 people killed, burned to death, when you're talking about others who are severely burned and in an agony that we could not imagine and may be disfigured for life if they survive, and then the trauma on the families. And I'm not just saying this because it's Israel, as if suffering in Israel is bigger or more important than suffering anywhere else. It's because that's what we're talking about. That's what we're focused on right now. So it is very important for us to not approach this in a trivial way and just to spout out our opinions. I appreciate those weighing in with their views after I asked for them. But it's important that we not get into what one writer said as being like retro prophets, where after the event we're going to prophesy. So I would say, aside from being extremely cautious about making pronouncements, it's obvious that this is a time for Israel to pray, that this is a time for the nation to turn to God, whatever caused it, natural reasons or supernatural reasons. This, when you have something of this magnitude happen, and again, it's very big in Israel and very painful because of the number of people and the nature of the fire. So it's traumatic. 9/11, the trauma for us in America, the trauma in the earthquake in Haiti, trauma in the tsunami. At the very least, these things serve as wake-up calls to remind us of the frailty of life, to remind us of our need for the mercy of God, to remind us of how fragile life can be, and to remind us if there is sin that we should turn from it so that we can plead for mercy. Those, I think, are lessons that are undeniable and things that we should do by way of application. I am about to sum up my thoughts on the fires in Israel and the question of divine judgment. Before I do that, before I give you my bottom line, I want to read a few comments that came in after those listened. Some of you dear friends listened to the radio show from Monday night about washing the feet of the martyrs family of martyrs in India, live from India on Monday. Brian said, "We stand to learn a great deal from men and women such as these. Folks complain in America and are afraid to share their faith, but we don't even know the first thing about persecution. The worst thing that could happen to us is we might lose our job, but in reality we often remain silent for fear of lesser repercussions like losing face or a so-called friend. We need to wake up and realize how the fear of man has a death grip on the professing believers of this nation." David said, "There's a day coming to America where it may cost many of us our lives to serve God. Are you ready to die to this life so that you can reign with Christ in the life to come?" Felix said, "This kind of Christianity is so foreign to us in the U.S. I've been on the mission field. My heart was touched by those saints who worship Christ under those circumstances. Sheila, I'm sorry, but I could not keep from crying while listening to this broadcast." Speak of Monday's broadcast. "It makes all the very petty things we attend to all the more blaringly superficial, how utterly spoiled and complacent we are in America. God help us." Danny said, "I'm broken and I need for the Lord to birth more of a hunger and thirst for him. How do we fight against this attack of luxury and comfort here in America? It's all around us in our culture. How do we balance?" And then another friend wrote privately, "Thanks so much, Michael, for sharing these stories," which I had sent in email. This is a strong woman fighting for righteousness in America. And she said, "Even before I read your email, I've been feeling ashamed for my indulgence and self-pity and discouragement. It can happen to anyone when you see things going wrong in your own country and you get down." And what she said is this: "Your stories were a slap upside the head. I need it. I shouldn't even describe my piddling experiences as trials." So in other words, talking about the reality of what brothers and sisters are suffering in other parts of the world for their faith, it is a wake-up call to us here in America. And in shows to come, I do want to talk more about practical implications of that, how we should live in light of eternity, in light of what brothers and sisters are suffering in other parts of the world. And in the new year, if you haven't heard me share this already, we're going to be implementing a neat new schedule. It could, of course, always be subject to change based on what's happening in the world or what the Lord lays on our heart at any moment. But the normal schedule will be Monday. We'll leave wide open, not knowing which way we want to go after a weekend. Tuesday will be our day to focus on scripture, apologetic, word-based issues. Wednesday, our day to focus on moral, social issues. Thursday, our day to focus on Israel, Jewish issues. And Friday, as always, you've got questions, we've got answers. We'll be implementing that. Should be the first of the new year. All right. My bottom line reflections on the fires in Israel. Is it divine judgment? Well, it's certainly not divine judgment for the Jewish people occupying Arab lands, because this is promised land. This is land that God gave to the people of Israel, and they have every right to be where they are right now. It's certainly not divine judgment for that. However, that being said, it's important for the people of Israel to recognize their sin, the sin of religious hypocrisy among the ultra-religious and their sin of rejecting Jesus, the sin of the secular Israelis rejecting God even more profoundly, and indulging in the sins of the flesh like other peoples and nations do. And regardless of the cause of the fires, which I do not pretend to know aside from the natural causes, it is a time for reflection. It is a time for turning to God, especially in the midst of the drought. And if we are to say that something is divine judgment, then let it happen like this. Let prophetic voices first rise up and speak in such a way that the nation can hear their voice, so that it has a platform, not somebody just journaling their thoughts. Let a prophet be raised up to speak and declare in advance that sin is in the midst of the people, that they must turn and repent, and if they do not turn and repent, that specific judgment will come. When it happens, it'll make the awakening effect even more radical and more deep. Barring that, we need to be super careful calling something divine judgment. But by all means, let it be a wake-up call to turn to God for mercy. Back with you tomorrow.